One of my favourite portions of the scriptures is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to sow, there is a time to reap, there is a time to laugh, there is a time to mourn, there is a time to love, there's a time to hate. What's the time? Do you know the time? This is one of the great challenges of life. What is the time? We so often get the timing wrong. We do the wrong thing in the wrong place. We even sometimes seek to do the right thing in the wrong place. What is the time? That chapter 3 in Ecclesiastes is the Holy Spirit chapter in the Old Testament. What is the time? God knows the time for every purpose. And when we are in communion with God, we will be in His timing. He will show us when it's right to laugh, when it's right to mourn. He will correct us from doing things at the wrong time. Now, it's very interesting. We've been in Matthew's Gospel. We've been preaching through Matthew's Gospel. Lamb preached last Sunday on Matthew 6, Jesus teaching people about prayer, how important it is to not pray before people, to have our mind set on God, not be looking for people's approval or their acceptance of our clever wording, but to be true before God. And, of course, Jesus wants us to pray when you pray, not if. As I said earlier, the most significant time when Jesus Christ is stirred in anger, outwardly expressed, is when he goes into the temple, the church, if you like, the place where God's people gather, and he finds them doing all sorts of other things other than praying. And let me tell you, that is the state of the church today, largely. They're doing all sorts of things, but God is waiting to hear a cry from his people. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 30, a beautiful chapter where Isaiah arrests the people of Israel in telling them, you're carrying out plans, but they're not God's plans. You're doing all sorts of things according to your own understanding. You need to stop. He says, in repentance and rest you'll be saved. In quietness and trust will be your strength. That's where you'll find strength, because then you will begin to call upon God. And it says there in chapter 30, verse 18, he's waiting to be gracious to you. He will surely hear you at the sound of your cry, and your eyes are going to see your teacher, like Isaiah saw the Lord. And your ears are going to hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Notice it's behind you. You're going ahead in your own way. You're doing your own thing. And suddenly God speaks behind you, said, no, it's this way. And when you turn and follow him, you're going to see what will happen. Supernatural things will take place. Amazing things will happen. That's what that chapter talks about. The sun will be 7 times brighter. The moon will shine like the sun. There'll be rivers flowing on the top of mountains. I thought they flowed in valleys, but in this, it's supernatural rivers. And that's the river we talked about today. There is a river. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. And Lamb rightly directed us to the importance of praying to our Father who's in heaven, and our Father who sees in secret will reward us Well, I thought, today's Pentecost. Lamb's just preached on that. God, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go to the... No, no, no. I want you to go to chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel. Chapter 11. It's virtually very similar to Matthew chapter 6. But look at what it says there. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Yesterday we had a young man who stood before us and he said, Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus prayed a lot. He spent all day in prayer sometimes, or all night in prayer. Are we following Jesus? Jesus said, come, follow me. Well, Jesus was praying. The disciples were following him in a certain place. And when he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We all need this, don't we? We need to be taught to pray. We need to be encouraged to pray. We need to be shown how to pray, what to pray. Well, Lamb gave us those instructions from Jesus. Go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But when you go to the temple too, when you come together with the people of God, pray. Pray. When you meet for a cup of tea after church, pray. Pray for each other. Pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. Now notice, he says, as John taught his disciples. Now we don't have it recorded there what John taught his disciples, but clearly the disciples saw John teaching John's disciples to pray. You can see how important this is. John's disciples were taught to pray, to call upon God. And then Jesus goes on and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Father. That's who he is. I preached at the college on Thursday, and I had a picture, I'm sorry I forgot to bring it this morning, of a father with his little child in a cot. The father is leaning over, holding the little child by the hand and smiling at this little child. And the child is just looking up into his father's face. When you pray, say, Father. That's the attitude you're to have. You are a helpless little baby who can do nothing, Jesus said, without him. Not even a thing. And all of our righteous deeds are filthy rags, the Bible says. We are to look to our Father and we are to pray, expecting him to give us all that we need. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. The first petition of this prayer is a petition for the kingdom of God to come. I thought the kingdom of God was already here. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst. But we're actually praying for the kingdom of God to come. What were they doing in the upper room for 10 days? What do you think they were doing? Your kingdom come. The visitation of heaven onto the earth. Your kingdom come. That is to be the fundamental petition of every true believer. Your kingdom come. And then he says, give us each day our daily bread. So how often are we to pray for the kingdom to come? Just once? You know, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's wonderful. That's terrific. But you need to go on being filled with the Spirit every day. You need to pray every day for this. You need God's kingdom to come. You need the Spirit of God to fall upon you and upon the church. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. I'll do this every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to hear God every day. And forgive us our sins. We're all sinners, all of us. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. Well, do we? In your marriages, is that what you're doing? In your relationships with each other, with other people around you? Are we really forgiving people? Holding nothing against them? Love keeps no record of wrongs. This is a very challenging thing because you have to acknowledge you're sinning when you don't forgive. And don't think your Father's going to forgive you. He's not. Jesus said so. Forgiveness is the language of heaven. Forgiveness is the language of heaven. Did you hear that? Forgiveness is the language of heaven. And you know that's true, actually. You know when you hear of someone who actually forgives someone else who's done terrible wrong to them, you just feel like heaven has come down. Forgiveness is the language of heaven. And lead us not into temptation. They're very simple things. But essentially, the most important petition is, your kingdom come. And then Jesus goes on, having told them what to pray, he says this. He said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Have you ever been in a situation where someone comes to you and they've got a real need and you can't meet it? Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. Whoever it is, maybe it's a neighbor or a member of your family. What do you do when you face that situation where someone comes to you and you can't meet their need? Do you say, I'll find somebody else? Jesus is saying here, this person has a neighbor or a friend coming to them in need, and he can't supply the need. So, he goes to his friend at midnight. Lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived there. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within. Do not bother me. Do you remember the children's talk Lamb gave last Sunday? Do you remember what the Holy Spirit laid on Lamb's heart to share with us last Sunday? A widow, troubled by an adversary, who comes to a judge and bothers him. Bothers the judge. This is Jesus telling here this story about a man coming and bothering Do not bother me. Well, he's going to bother him. He's going to go on bothering him. Do you bother God? Do you really? Have you given up on the thing that he regards most precious to himself? You see? Do you bother God about the thing that is so precious to him, which is meeting the need of this person? I tell you, the man inside, Jesus is saying, do not bother me, the door is shut. Have you ever prayed and the door feels shut? Well, I have, many times. I've prayed and it feels like the door shut. It just seemed like I'm bouncing off the ceiling. Have you never had that experience? Well, Jesus is telling you, you're going to have this experience. This is going to be your experience. You're going to hear the sound, the door shut, it's finished. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence or because of his importunity or because he bothers this friend, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Why is Jesus referring to this kind of atmosphere when you have to come before God in prayer? Because this is our experience. And why in Psalm 46 do we have this refrain? The Lord of hosts is with us. Who is the Lord of hosts? Jehovah Sabaoth. Whose lips do we find that name first upon in the Bible? Hannah. The Lord, Hannah's God is with us. What did Hannah do? What did she do? She poured out her soul before God. She was appearing to be drunk. She was so moved in her heart before God. This is the Lord of hosts she was praying to. The God of the armies of heaven. The name that is referred to in the latter prophets of the Old Testament more than any other name is the name of Hannah's God. Zechariah, 50 times in Zechariah, 25 times in the book of Malachi, Jehovah Sabaoth is with us. The God of Hannah. And in a time in Israel when everything looked black and defeated and it was looking hopeless. But Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts, Hannah's God, is with us. And then what's the next verse say? The God of Jacob is our refuge. What did Jacob do? What did Jacob do? Hey, Steve, come here, mate. I want to do a bit of wrestling with you. See, because Jacob, he got into a wrestle with God. You know, it was really on for it. He meant business. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And this is Jesus directing us to his Father. Hope I didn't alarm you too much. I used to have a son here I could do it with, but close as a son. He's living in my house anyway. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Twice we hear that refrain in Psalm 46, and it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Are you drinking from the river? We are meant to be drinking from this river. We are meant to be flooded with this river. This is what Jesus has opened up to us on the cross, the river of God. But he knows there's going to be a struggle in actually embracing and drinking from this river. He knows, just like the widow being oppressed by her adversary, who's going to have to persistently cry out for justice. So he tells this story here about a man, an importunate man, who will not stop knocking on his friend's door until he gets up and gives him what he needs. This is the God Jesus Christ is revealing to us. And he is revealing the struggle and the battle there is going to be in prayer. Because, of course, our adversary does not want the kingdom of God to come from heaven down to earth and trouble his rule and reign on this earth, does he? I tell you, Jesus says, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. You know, people give up. We all do at times. We give up before God is wanting to do the most extraordinary things in our lives. We give up. What is that? It's unbelief in what Jesus is teaching us here. It's not believing him. In verse 9 he says, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. There's a progression here, isn't there? There's asking and receiving strength to go on seeking. There's seeking and finding your Savior. And then there's knocking at his door until he gives you what you need. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. What father? Remember what he said at the start. You pray like this, Father. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The disciples, after Jesus ascended into heaven, believed what Jesus said. They prayed for 10 days and heaven came down. God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. That is why Jesus was so stirred in anger when he went into the temple and found people doing everything other than praying. That's right. But there were two people praying there when he was born, weren't there? Simeon and Anna, every day visiting the temple to do what? Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Did they receive the insights? Did the kingdom of heaven come upon them? God has not changed. He is the same. We are the ones who need to repent, not God. You know, there's a beautiful description of Hannah's God given by this man, Andrew Jukes, in his book, The Names of God. And he talks about We never know the reality of this name, Hannah's God, Jehovah Sabaoth. It's not learnt when we're bondmen in Egypt, so when we're unbelievers and we're held captive by Pharaoh, well, Satan and his rule, or while we're still experiencing only in the wilderness as we come out from the bondage of the evil one and find ourselves walking through a wilderness in this world. It's not even learnt when we first cross Jordan, when we enter into the fullness of the Spirit of God and are victorious in the promised land. That is when we apprehend our place as risen with Christ and stand upon his promise as more than conquerors over wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We don't know this name when we already know these things. There's something more to know of God. It's when Israel, or the people of God, have failed. It's when they've failed. Not only in Egypt or the desert only, but in the land of promise, right where God had called them to be. That the name Jehovah Sabaoth is first learned. And not until Israel is divided. So the people of God are divided and in peril of being led captive out of the land, does it become the name to which the prophets seem instinctively to turn for comfort and deliverance. In a word, we do not know this name, the Lord of hosts, till we have learnt the church's fall and that the hosts of Israel, that's all the people of God, can no longer help us. For they are bitterly divided and destroying one another. But though Israel fails, God ever remains. And as the Lord of hosts, there is help in him, very specially when his elect have no other helper. Therefore, when Psalm 46 tells us the Lord of hosts is with us, though the earth be removed, though the waters roar, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, God is and must ever be sufficient for a ruined church, as for a ruined world. Well, you can put that in your own life. As a ruined life, Christian, God is able to transform us supernaturally from heaven. That's what Pentecost is all about. Did you hear those children? They said to me, they spoke different languages. Supernatural things took place in the lives of human beings like you and me because heaven came down. When you pray, pray like this: Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let us pray.